Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We get a chance to chat with Mitch Holthus, the voice of the Chiefs, joining us once again here on Fesco in the Morning. And Mitch, we were voting every week now for a rewatch game, and we wanted to get your memories of this particular game. Our listeners voted, and our rewatch game for today is going to be the Eric Berry Pick 2 game, Week 13 of 2016. A pretty fantastic finish of that one, to say the least.
Josh, it was awesome. By the way, thanks for tweeting out that picture of you and Bob in Bob's spare bedroom. That card table's awesome.
It's fantastic, isn't it? You got to make do with what you got, my man.
We play canasta after the show. It's terrific.
Why do I think in like 30 years my granddaughters will be taking double-decker bus trips by that house going, this is where they broadcast during the coronavirus, like Churchill's bunker. You know, it'll be this famous place with a historical sign outside. All of us. And keep praying and keep hoping and cling to hope. Okay. That was an amazing game, Josh, because Eric Berry was coming back from Kansas. We all know that. But it was his hometown. He was playing in his hometown of Atlanta. And I remember him telling me I don't know how much of his game check, I think all, maybe two game checks went for buying tickets for people that were there that helped him through his cancer voyage. There were nurses and aides and families and cousins and second cousins and third cousins that were all there that day in the game. I remember in the back of my mind, if you recall, Atlanta went for two a couple of times. The first time in the back of my mind going, now the pick two is available now. It's right there. So they went for it and didn't make it, but I just said, you got to be ready in case there's a scoop and score or a pick. And then the second time, because Derrick Johnson almost had an interception on the first one, if I recall. And then Berry gets the pick two and goes over 100 yards for 2 points to get the Chiefs a 29-28 victory. And what was Eric Berry's jersey number?
29, yeah.
29. How many football games, you guys cover sports very closely, how many football games in with a team with a score of 29?
Not many.
All right. That was a bit of a magical moment there. And I'll say this is myopic, Josh, so forgive me, but it's the only pick two in the history of the NFL, so I think I'm the only guy to call a pick two in college. The very first pick two in college I called, and the very first pick two in the NFL I was able to call. So I guess I'm the king of the pick twos.
Put that on your Hall of Fame plaque when you go in, Mitch.
Yeah.
The king of the pick twos. We're talking with Mitch Holthus, voice of the Chiefs here on 610 Sports Radio. And last week we rewatched the game where Jamal had 5 touchdowns against the Oakland Raiders back in 2013. And when we got done with that game, all of us had the same impression when, wow, we were watching that game for Jamal, but Eric Berry was a beast. And by the time, you know, we got to where we are now with Tyrann Mathieu being the beast that he's been on defense, I don't know that we've had an impactful player on this defense like Eric Berry was in that 2013 season. I mean, that guy was a monster that year.
Yeah, he was. And the same thing as far as well as the Honey Badger was his energy and his play was infectious throughout the entire team. We tend to forget or just let drift that 2013 team was a big piece of laying the foundation for what Andy Reid has done in his 7 years. And we were coming off a 2-14. I said we were fired up, Langton. We're at the bottom of the ocean, like coming off the worst year in franchise history because we did not win an AFC game at all. Only time in franchise history to not have an AFC win. And then to come back and start 9-0 in 2013. And EB was a big part of that. And again, his energy and effort went throughout the whole team. The only guy I'd put close as far as a defensive impact player would be Derek Johnson.
Yeah.
DJ was in that same mode, and he could affect the game at the line of scrimmage. EB could too, but DJ could affect it at every level, front, middle, and back. His explosive plays, high tackle total. I know you're going to ask me a little bit about the All-Decade team. That's one guy I would go to court for and try to defend. The DJ and EB were the two main guys there defensively.
Yeah, and I think you're right about that. Derek Johnson's my favorite Chief of all time, Mitch. Like, I love watching Derek Johnson play and everything that he brought to the game. And I've always told Derek, and he's agreed with me, Todd Haley was the best thing that happened to Derek Johnson because if he doesn't get benched, he may not turn out to be the linebacker that he ultimately was.
Yeah, we beat Pittsburgh. I think that's the Studebaker game. You guys are having Studebaker on later, right? I'm the warm-up band here for Andy Studebaker.
That's right.
This is, I mean, it's such an honor to just get the stage ready for him. But we beat Pittsburgh, and DJ was on kickoff coverage, and that was it. I mean, if you look at the season, it was, I don't know, we were thinking at the time, I'm thinking at the time, what is Todd trying to do? I remember Jamal Charles was a game inactive. He was standing behind me. It was early that season. He's standing behind me in the booth like 3 hours before game time. I'm like, what are you doing? He goes, I'm inactive. Are you hurt? No, I'm just inactive. So I mean, there was a lot of strange things going on, but I guess DJ dealt with it and moved on. But I'm telling you, Derek Johnson, well, we'll get into him in a second. When you look at his statistics and how he was able to affect a game and the explosive plays he made, very unique defender, and I'm with you, Bob. He's right up there, if not at the top. He's near the top of my all-time Chiefs. I'll put together a book sometime, and I'll have him listed by position, my all-time team, and he's on it. Might be the captain, defensive captain.
And I think we have full appreciation for him here in Kansas City. Why maybe not as much recognition for him on the national stage?
Josh, yeah, I just think it's because there was nothing postseason-wise. If he would have had one of those 55-yard pick sixes like he had against the Jets to beat the Colts in a divisional playoff game, I think that people might think differently of him. DJ was a warrior on some teams that were fighters and grinders, but they didn't get anything done in the postseason. Now, DJ did get the win against Houston in 2015 in the wild card win. And we all kind of chuckle about that now. Hey, was that big a deal? Yeah, it was an enormous deal to get a first playoff win in 22 years. And DJ was one of the first guys I went to find a hug. I mean, I was Jim Valvano after winning the NCAA tournament with NC State in 83. I was in the locker room, but I knew my list of guys that I wanted to find, and DJ was the first guy on that list. But I think in the fact that there weren't these high games as far as awareness nationally probably slides him down. But I could put him on this team. In fact, if whenever you would get into it, I'll make the case. Because Patrick Willis is fine, but I don't know why he's on here instead of Derek Johnson.
Well, we'll make that case because to me, you know, and I'm biased against Derek Johnson. Like I said, my favorite player. He can do no wrong in my mind. And so I kind of understand. I'm with you, Mitch. The lack of postseason impact obviously probably kept him off that list. But when you look at what he meant to a team and what he did at the position he played, you're hard pressed to find anybody better in the NFL during his time than Derek Johnson.
Well, let me just compare him to Patrick Willis here, because if you're saying, well, he should be on the All-Decade team, well, then who comes off? That's the next question. And Willis was a fine player, but only played 5 years of the decade.
Yeah, right.
Willis only played from 10 to 14. He had 300, just follow me here, 374 tackles. This is Patrick Willis. Yes, he had four interceptions, he had 11 sacks, and went to four Pro Bowls. Okay. In the decade, the same decade, DJ had 635 tackles, four monster years, 104 and 11, 109 and 12, 95 and 13, and 95 and 15. Eight interceptions, two pick sixes, 14 and a half sacks, four Pro Bowls, and a Pro Bowl MVP. To me, it's not even comparable. Yeah. Again, Willis is a fine player. Yay for Ole Miss, hotty toddy, yay for San Francisco. But he is not DJ. And I just think, this is to Josh's point, did DJ just completely, just like a mist, not get consideration on this team? Because that's the guy I put on it.
Any other Chiefs you thought should have had consideration on this all-decade team?
Yeah, and this is going to be a wild one, Josh, because it's Dustin Colquitt. I have, for years, had wailing and gnashing of teeth in the NFL in the way that they gauge punters. They look at gross punting. Now, they lift net as well, but the net is way more important than gross. If I punt the ball 55 yards and you return it 35, it's a net of 20, and the field position reverse flipped on me. I'm not sure there's a punter who's reversed the field as much and as effectively as Dustin Colquitt or did in that decade. I look at punts inside the 10, and I had to do this myself, and I keep track of it, because every time Colquitt has one, I mention it. But they do punts inside the 20 as the NFL metric. And I've talked to our PR department saying, well, we ought to just put it out there. And I've tried to talk to the NFL about punts inside the 10, because that, particularly with the proficiency of offenses, and they use the 20 because of touchbacks. So I understand that. However, if you get the ball at the 17 or you get it at the 5, that makes a big difference in the NFL. And
no
Dustin
doubt.
Colquitt, in his career, 76 punts inside the 10 in that decade. 76.
Wow.
Nobody in the league was close, is what I can. I haven't gone through every punter because I got to do it all manually by myself and go through every play by play. But that dude, Colquitt flips fields and is the 12th defensive player. And there's not many punters in the league who can say that.
That's incredible. Talking with Mitch Holthus here.
I've always called him the GOAT, Bob.
You have. I mean, and I thought the same thing, too. I looked at it when why isn't Colquitt on this list? But then I thought maybe I'm getting greedy as a Chiefs fan, you know, trying to get all our guys on there. But they've had a really good run of players over this last decade. And one of those who may not do it in the regular season, but, man, in the postseason, Sammy Watkins has been really, really good. And I was stumping last week to bring him back and explaining why I want Sammy Watkins back on this team, Mitch, because the way he performs in the postseason and the way that you still have to account for him all the time out there, you know, and it frees up one-on-one coverage maybe for somebody else, or, you know, he's a guy that you have to always be aware of. And just talking with some folks around the organization saying he's more valuable than people give him credit for. I'm happy that Sammy Watkins is back. What do you think about him coming back?
I'm ecstatic. I mean, have a cup of coffee on me at Josh's card table. You've got a Super Bowl team, just won the Super Bowl, with a collection of wide receivers. Mahomes had 2,696 yards to wide receivers. 2,690 return. That's ridiculous. Can you name who had the 6 yards who isn't returning?
as a receiver?
Yeah.
McCoy?
The
no.
Anthony Thomas. So yeah, I just put wide receivers. I didn't take the right
receivers.
Right
yeah,
answer.
Yeah.
But the point is, if your wide receiver core, 99.87 of your yards come back. That's so. To your point here, Bob, I think that Sammy Watkins, my excitement about him is the sum is greater than its parts, although the parts are pretty darn good. Now, for Sammy, it's a matter, I think, next year of being consistent. If you look at the last 7 regular season games of the year, and one of the things that I look at, I always analyze every week in getting ready for a game, whether it's the Chiefs or the opponent, are the amount of targets and the amount of production off those targets. Sammy had 44 targets in the last 7 games with just 24 catches, 264 yards, and the only score was the 2-point conversion against Denver. Now, and this is where you zeroed in on it, his postseason production, who performs on the biggest stage? And Sammy came into the Chiefs organization without hardly any postseason experience. He had one game with the Rams, and he had maybe one catch. Well, in five postseason games, it's 24 catches, 20 yards a catch, or close to it. But here's your ratio again. The Chiefs have targeted him in the five postseason games he's played for the Chiefs 34 times, but 24 catches. Look at the ratio and the difference. Wow. 464 yards. And then big plays, explosive plays, the 60-yarder against Tennessee, the play against Sherman in the Super Bowl. He is one more guy. I mean, how deep are you going to go in DBs? Because you've got now Mecole Hardman, who I think will take a big jump next year, handling, if we can handle this, the mode and the protocol we're in with the COVID-19. I think Mecole Hardman takes a big jump. Well, if your third DB or your second DB, essentially, or your scheme, has to account for Watkins and Hardman, and D-Rod coming back is big, too. That was last week's discussion. But I think the fact that you put Sammy Watkins makes another big equation on a really, really awesome sum of guys, then it's almost ridiculous when the rest of the NFL looks at it. I know Peter King was looking at it this week and said the same thing.
Mitch, we'll deal you in for a virtual hand of Euchre, and we'll chat with you. And we'll chat with you next week.
Okay, I'm all in. Yeah, let me know. A cup of coffee on me, though. Have it there, right there.
You okay, got it. Sounds good.
Yeah, get something Mitchell. Keep him quiet.
Mitch Holtis, voice of the Chiefs, joining us and mocking our card table today. So that's fun. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.